That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Men will still say, this was our finest hour.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and this is Speaking of History. Today's date is June 22nd, 2006, and if you hear a little bit of background noise, it's because I'm inside my car. I'm currently traveling up I-29 from Kansas City to Omaha, podcasting a la Bud the Teacher. If you have ever listened to Bud the Teacher podcast, a teacher out in Colorado, he typically podcasts from his vehicle as he commutes, and he's doing some great stuff, so if you haven't checked it out, I do have it as a link on the right-hand side of my page for the podcast. So this is a shout-out to Bud the Teacher. Hope to be in contact with you soon about some of the great things you're doing with your writing project this summer. Right now, I am traveling up to Omaha to do a class at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And typically, a lot of my podcasts recently have been focus-based on either an event, an interview, or a particular topic. And this episode will be none of the above. It will be basically kind of what's been happening this summer, a little bit of some things that are going on a little bit later this summer. So if you're listening for the first time, this is not typically a Speaking of History podcast. This is kind of a little bit of catching up, telling people what I've been up to a little bit lately. Typically, the Speaking of History podcast deals with the issues of education, technology, and history. And this one will as well, but just kind of in a different route. Right now, I'm podcasting, like I said, from the car. I am traveling safely. There's not a lot of turns and traffic and stuff on the interstate, so I am podcasting with safety in mind. I'm sure that people always think that when you say that you're podcasting from the car. But it's been a really, really busy summer. It's almost the end of June, which is hard for me to believe. We've been out of school for almost an entire month here in Missouri, and had a lot of stuff going on. If you listen to our last podcast was from Washington, D.C., and my wife actually participated in the podcast. It was the first time that she had been in the podcast with me, and it's kind of odd because, or it's kind of funny, because when I look at the download numbers, we've had that show downloaded a lot recently, and so I'm beginning to question if that is my my wife and my wife should take over the podcast, or just happened to be a timely topic. We talked about what you should do if you're planning a trip to Washington, D.C., kind of from a teacher's perspective, since we're both teachers. And the reason we were in Washington, D.C. was actually for an award ceremony. Last March, I found out that I was one of 41 finalists for the Cable Industry's Cables, Leaders, and Learning Award, and was very, very humbled to find out that they had selected me as their winner for the category of Pushing the Envelope, which was the category that talks about how to use technology innovatively in the classroom. I talked primarily about podcasting, talked about how we use StudyCast in the classroom so my students can review for tests using audio content through the internet and download it to their own personal MP3 players, and then also for the Speaking of History podcast as a collaborative tool with other teachers. So I was very honored. They took us out there for 3 days. I'm going to do a separate podcast. It's going to highlight a little bit of the actual procedures that we went through and what we did out there in Washington. But they did an amazing job of making the 13 winners feel very, very honored. It wasn't only teachers. It was people from the community. There were legislators there. There were people that worked with organizations there. Several of us were teachers. So we're going to highlight those. I'll talk about a podcast that they actually recorded from the event, where you're going to find out more about each of the 13 winners in the future. And right now they're getting kind of the press release stuff out. The official ceremony was on June 13th, so about a week ago. They're starting to get some video out, and so I'm going to kind of let that come out here in the next couple days, and then I'll put a couple links up, and you'll be able to find out more about the award ceremony. But it was an amazing ceremony. Was blown away by all the stuff that they did. met some amazing people, and got quite a bit of content while I was out there too for the podcast. Before the event actually took place, my wife and I spent a couple days exploring on our own in Washington, went down to Mount Vernon, and got some great audio from people on our vacation. So I'll be doing that a little bit later, but that was while we were in Washington. They asked us not to really talk about it until the actual ceremony, so I didn't have anything on the blog or the podcast about it until it actually took place, but I'll definitely have some more information about it in the next couple podcasts. Well, the reason I'm traveling up to Omaha right now is I'm helping to teach a class called the Middle East Virtual Institute. And I think last year, actually, when I first started this podcast, in one of the first couple of episodes, I was actually driving up to teach this same class, and I think I talked about it a little bit. But if you are new to the show, it's through an organization called GEON. And if you happen to live in Nebraska and you teach social studies, you should really check out the GEON organization. GEON stands for Geography Educators of Nebraska. And while I was working on my master's degree when I was teaching in Nebraska, I took quite a few graduate courses as workshops through GEON. During the summer, they offer various workshops. The one that I'm helping to teach is just one of several that they do this year. They have one on the Sand Hills, one of the more remote areas of Nebraska where it's mostly ranches and farming and things, and they actually have a class about that. I took a class through GEON when I was in Nebraska called Geography from Space, where they taught people how to use the images that the astronauts have taken from the space shuttle and how to incorporate those in a classroom setting. And typically these workshops take usually like about 3 days or so. The reason why this is called the Middle East Virtual Institute is because we get everybody together for one day and we talk about the resources that they're going to use as they explore the Middle East for the next 2 weeks. We talk about the discussion board they're going to use. We talk about the online resources. They have a very nice interface where they can access information and websites, and people can contribute websites that everybody else can see. And so we spend about a day getting everybody kind of acquainted. We talk about the technology aspect of it. And then for the next 2 weeks, everybody studies about the Middle East on their own. And they follow the discussions, and they go through the readings that we provide them. And then after 2 weeks, we get back together, and we do kind of a two-day field trip relating to the things that we talked about. For example, last year we went to a mosque. We talked to people at a Jewish community center. We went out to a restaurant and ate Middle Eastern food. We went to the Henry Doyle Zoo in Omaha, Nebraska, which has a desert dome where they've got an entire desert climate inside a huge glass dome that you can walk through and explore what the climate and what the animals are like in the desert. So we do quite a few activities relating to the Middle East that we've studied about for the last 2 weeks. The component that I contributed to the class last year and will again do this year, I went and interviewed one of the people in Nebraska that works for a large irrigation manufacturer, and interviewed one of the people from at the Valley Corporation that produces a lot of the irrigation that's used in the Middle East. And one of the things we wanted to do with this class was really connect how Nebraska, a state in the middle of the United States, is really connected economically with the Middle East. And once we started to do some research, I was fascinated to find out how much of a connection there was between the major irrigation manufacturers in Nebraska and the countries in the Middle East. That's one of the major things that Nebraska does economically as an export. And so I sat down and interviewed for about 20 minutes or so one of the people that does a lot of business dealings in the Middle East and has traveled in the Middle East quite a bit. And I put it together as a little video, edited it a little bit with a Movie Maker 2, and then I burn it to a CD and then also a DVD, and that's one of the resources the students get when they meet up for the first day. And then there's also discussions about it online, and we can then talk about it again once we come back for 2 days. So that's why I'm traveling up to Omaha. It's a great organization. Just do a Google search for Geography Educators of Nebraska. They do amazing workshops every year. Typically, they tend to do the same workshop for like 2 years in a row, then they bring in a new one. So this is actually the second year that we've offered the Middle East Virtual Institute. I don't know if they'll do it again next year, but they constantly refresh and do new things. So if you're in Nebraska, definitely check that out. I've met some great friends through GEON. I really felt like when I moved from Nebraska to Missouri, that was one of the things I really missed, was not being a part of that organization. And I'm really glad that they've allowed me to help them teach a couple classes, and I still stay in contact with the people I'm friends with a lot of the people that I work with in this class, and I always give them a bad time because I actually met my wife when she was helping a professor that was working at a Geon workshop in the summer, and that's how I actually met my wife. So I got graduate credit, I met my soulmate, and everything worked out great. So that's why I'm traveling up to Omaha, Nebraska today. Some other stuff that's coming up on the horizon. When I get back, I'm actually going to Chicago this weekend, and I'm going to be part of the Discovery Educator Network Midwest Institute. And if you've been following what's happening over at Discovery, they're doing some amazing things for teachers with the DEN organization. And they have institutes that are regionally based. So they've already had an institute, and I know they've had one in Southern California. I think they've recently had one in Atlanta. The one I'm attending is in Chicago for people from the Middle West. And they're going to do a lot of great things as far as showing us some of the ways we can use United Streaming Video, how we can do some editing. I'm going to do a little segment on how you can do podcasting with Audacity. And then also if a teacher wants to incorporate some audio files that they want to edit, how they can use Audacity to edit those files and then incorporate them into something like an iMovie project or a Movie Maker 2 project. So I'm actually going up to Chicago, very excited. I think two of the people that are scheduled to be at the Midwest Institute for DEN is Steve Dembo, if you listen to Teach 42, and then also Steve has been doing a lot of work for Discovery. He works for Discovery now, and so I'm really anxious to meet Steve. I've listened to his podcast for years, but never actually met him. And then also Will Richardson, who if you listen to blogs, or I'm sorry, if you read blogs or listen to podcasts, Will Richardson's name comes up a lot in educational technology. And I believe Will will be there for a couple days giving some keynotes and talking about technology education and Web 2.0 tools. And so I'm really excited to meet both of those guys because, again, I've read their blogs, we've swapped emails and things, but I feel like I know them or, you know them well enough to go up and talk to them, but yet I've never actually seen them in person. So really excited about that. Hope to get some great content from the Midwest Institute in Chicago and then bring that back for a podcast. And then at the first part of July, there's about five or six of us from our school district attending the NECC conference in San Diego. And if you haven't checked out David Warlick's blog over at 2 Cents Worth, I'd encourage you to go over there. Mr. Warlick's been doing a lot of work talking about how people should tag and blog about the conference. And personally, this is something that I'm really going to try and make an effort to do this year, because I was able to go to the NECC conference in New Orleans 2 years ago. Last year I was not able to attend. Last year was in Philadelphia. And there are a lot of really amazing things that came out of the conference last year. It was right when podcasting began to really explode on the scene for education. It's right when iTunes decided to release podcasting as part of iTunes. And there were some great presentations on podcasting. And it really started to become one of the mainstream topics in education. And since I wasn't able to attend, I still wanted to follow what was happening. And so I was able to listen to podcasts of several sessions that people made. And then also they had some video. ISTE actually put up some video of some of the keynote addresses. And so I was actually able to watch and listen to some of the keynote addresses. So at least I felt last year like I was able to get some of the content from the conference, even though I wasn't able to attend. So this year, if you are going to NEC, go ahead and blog about it, podcast about it, include those tags as David Warlick talks about so people can track back to it. And then also, if you haven't checked out the NECC official site, they have put up a list of people that said they're going to blog or podcast about the conference. They sent out an email probably about 2 months ago and asked people that if you're going to blog or podcast to give them your link. And they've put all these up on the one of their pages. So if you go to the NECC page, I believe it says podcasts and blogs, click on that and you'll see a list of people. And I actually put my name in, so my name will be on there as well. But even if you're not going there specifically for NECC content, there's some great educational blogs, some that I didn't know about, that I found just by going down that list. So if you're going to NEC, go ahead and podcast about it, blog about it. I would love to hear what you're thinking about NEC. And David Warlick's also come up with a new project called Hitchhiker, which sounds amazing. I haven't really played around with it yet because I've been kind of busy, but it looks like a great way to publish content about a conference and learn about a conference And I definitely intend to start looking at that and see if I can use that also for MEC. So some really fun things going on. In addition to that, I'm also teaching a graduate class at Clark University. And the title for that class is Technology for the Classroom. It's the second time I've taught it as a face-to-face. I also teach it as an online class in the wintertime. And it's a packed class, which is kind of cool to see that happening. Typically, we have a cutoff of about 15, and we actually have about 25 people in there now. So it's really fascinating to see people from all different kinds of subject areas. We have some people that teach, you know, language arts, science, PE, history. We have some people that are, you know, hoping to work in elementary. Some people that are working on their grad degrees. So everybody comes to the table with a much different experience level of technology, and then also expectations of what it can do and what it can't do. So I love teaching this class because you really get an idea for a broad sampling of people that maybe don't deal with education on a regular or don't deal with educational technology on a regular basis. You know, I tend to read a lot of blogs, and a lot of people that I talk to are people that, you know, really love the technology aspect of teaching. But this is a way to really find out what everybody's thinking about technology. And every once in a while, we come up with an application that when you show it to somebody and they're like, wow, you know, I can use that in my classroom. I can use that website in my classroom, or I can use that lesson in my room with my kids. And that's really why I love teaching that class, because you get those aha moments. And anybody that's taught, you know, I think that's what keeps us all going, is that when a student gets that aha moment and the light bulb goes on above their head, and, you know, all the work you've done, all the prep you've done, and all that kind of stuff for the class, and it pays off in that moment when it really clicks. And I get to see that a lot when I teach the grad class. We're about little under halfway through. It's an 8-week class, and we've had 3 weeks of class so far. So I'll keep you posted on that, and I think I might actually do a little bit of podcasting from a future class and collect some audio on what people think is interesting and what they might take away from the class. And in addition, I've got content sitting in my computer that I really just need to sit down and edit. And if anybody's listening to this podcast that I've done some interviews with lately, I do apologize for not getting them up as quickly as possible. I've got some great content that's just raw content that I need to edit right now. We had a steam train that came up to Liberty, Missouri. Gosh, it's almost been about a month ago now. And I interviewed the people that were with that steam train from New Orleans. And that's waiting to be edited, so I can put that up and show you guys and add some pictures on there. I've got some content from Dan Buettner, who has done stuff with like MyaQuest and AsiaQuest. He's doing a great new project called Blue Zones. And I really want to highlight that from the NIDA conference that I attended in Omaha in April. And so I'm waiting to edit that and get that out for everybody to listen to. I did some different content collection of people from Mount Vernon. I interviewed someone that did a ghost tour that we took in Alexandria, Virginia. So I've got some great content. I just need to sit down and edit it. It seems like with podcasting, that's the most time-consuming part. And I guess it really depends on how much you want to spend on editing. I mean, my podcast is not professionally produced or anything like that, but it just seems like it just takes time to sit down and edit it and clip it and make it sound presentable. So hopefully in the next couple weeks, I'll be putting out quite a few podcasts. I want to share some of the experiences that I've been doing this summer with people. I'd love to hear what you're doing this summer. It's kind of funny to always talk about teachers, you know, sitting back by the pool and sitting in a hammock and all that kind of stuff in the summertime, but a lot of the teachers that I know, they do a lot of professional development, they're taking classes, or even if you're just traveling. I mean, there's some great opportunities to do podcasts or find out about people when you're just traveling on family vacation. So if you've done some traveling this summer, or if you're taking a great class, or you found a great resource this summer, go ahead and email me. You can email me, as always, at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear what you're doing this summer. Share your ideas, share what's happening, and I hope to be able to podcast from a variety of places. I'm actually going to total up all the travel miles at the end of the summer and see how many miles we've gone back and forth. So far this summer, my family's used a train, a plane, and a car to travel to different parts of the United States. So I'm not putting on, like, you know, super frequent flyer miles like Will Richardson or David Warlick or any of those major education technology presenters, but been traveling quite a bit for me, and it's been fun, kind of tiring, kind of laugh. At one point, I emailed David Warlick. This was probably about a year ago, and kind of made a comment about how I thought it'd be really fascinating to do what he does and travel as much as he does. And he emailed me back and said, you know, this educational presenting stuff is not glamorous. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not staying in all these fancy hotels all the time and all that kind of stuff. And I can really appreciate what he does now on a year-round basis, because I haven't traveled nearly as much as he does. But in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like I'm just constantly on the go, and I haven't been home very often, and we've been doing different things, and I really appreciate what some of those people do that travel almost year-round to be able to present things to teachers at different workshops. So that'll wrap it up for right now. I'm getting pretty close to Omaha. We have a working dinner going on tonight, and then we start the class tomorrow. So if you got any comments, shoot them off to me, and we'll be talking about quite a few things happening this summer. So thanks a lot for listening, and stay tuned. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.